Okay, page 22. Testimonies on Sexual Behavior, Adultery, and Divorce, part 2, I guess. We did this last week, and we're going to see if we can't finish it this week. If not, guess what? We'll do it again next week. And we are running late, so we've only got 20 minutes left to do this. So I apologize. Sorry. Let me put the link in the room there for everybody. There you go. Didn't show up. There it is. Okay. Okay. All right. And so when you click there, just go to the first headline, you know, the first bolded title, which is Importance of Family Backgrounds. And it says, let time teach you discretion in what the genuine claims of love are before it is allowed to step one inch further. Ruin, fearful ruin, is before you in this life and the next. Now, is not that a sober statement? Ruin, fearful ruin, is before you in this life and the next. Oh, man, you talk about, I mean, it's bad enough losing your life here. that's scary. But she says, if you pursue this course, you have been following, look to the family history. Two families are to be brought into close and sacred connection. Perfection in all these relations is not, of course, to be expected, but you would make a most cruel move to marry a girl whose ancestry and relatives would degrade and mortify you or tempt you to slight and ignore them. And, of course, this is continuing on her discussion in regards to counseling a certain young man regarding marrying a woman he shouldn't marry or vice versa. Okay, and that's why she's talking about the two different families here. So going on to the next one, the headline is, or the title, Counsel from Parents and Close Friends. And she says, it is safe to make haste slowly in these matters. Give yourself sufficient time for observation on every point, and then do not trust to your own judgment, but let the mother who loves you and your father and confidential friends make critical observation of the one you feel inclined to favor. Trust not to your own judgment, and marry no one whom you feel will not be an honor to your father and mother, but one who has intelligence and moral worth. The girl who gives over her affections to a man and invites his attention by her advances, hanging around where she will be noticed of him unless he shall appear rude, is not the girl you want to associate with. Her conversation is cheap and frequently without depth. Now, could you imagine Ellen White talking to a girl today that's trying to get some boy interested in her? Night and day. I mean, this girl is only probably batting the eyes, wearing the bustles, whatever the case may be in those days, you know, and hanging around areas you shouldn't hang around in, or, you know, like he's walking down the boardwalk, she's walking in, all of a sudden she walks a little bit too close and her shoulder hits his and she'll, you know, cause a problem, whatever, just to get noticed. That's not, you know, that's not bring home to mom type, okay? And then you get girls today I get the emails. And I really, really, really feel for you young men that are still in high school, let's say, especially. What some of the young girls are doing during class, causing temptation to swell up in the hearts of the young men. And they know it. They know exactly what they're doing, and this is why they do it. They're being taught by their mothers, because this is how their mothers got their men. And this has always amazed me. When I remember marriage counseling, I mean, I've been dealing with marriage, and this is why I will not ever again, and I learned my lesson many, many years ago, I don't counsel married couples one-on-one. The he said, she said thing does not work, ever. Never, because the wife is going to see things the way she sees them, and he's going to see things the way he sees them. You get them both on the phone at the same time, or you get them both in the room at the same time. Certain things aren't going to be said then, because they're going to know, he's going to know I'm not really, you know, I'm kind of gilding a lily heel here, and vice versa. And so, when, like in today's world, like, because I can remember, I don't know how many times that women would call, you know, their husbands leaving them. Or their husband went out and, you know, cheated on her. And he's leaving her for the new girl. And I say, well, how did you meet him? 9 times out of 10, it's either, well, I met him in a bar. Or I met him in a bar and he was married when I met him. and you think he's going to change. Yeah, because what happens is like, oh, he's a drinker. He doesn't stop drinking. Where'd you meet him? Oh, I met him in a bar. Well, you get what you go looking for. What do you expect? I mean, if you don't want a drunk, don't go looking for a guy in a bar. And if you don't want the guy to cheat on you, don't become a mistress. Just that simple. But the best place, of course, is to find a man or a woman in church. But even there, you can get yourself in a trick bag, too, because some people will by their fruits. You've got to know the fruits. You really have to do your homework there. Don't let the flesh get you, because flesh has teeth. It'll always bite you. It will always bite you. I mean, you're not going to find those teeth anywhere else but in the flesh. All right, this next one here is no marriage preferable to a mismatch. Guaranteed. And I don't know how many times I've said this over the years, too, where I've come into young couples that want to get married that weren't of the same faith. I said, this is not going to work out. Well, I'm a strong Christian. I'll convert. No, you won't. You know? But if they marry together and they're both not walking with the Lord, well, then they're going to have a better chance of finding the Lord later on if they find him together, of course, too, because I saw that happen with my wife and myself. We found Jesus more or less at the same time, which was really, really nice. It worked out good for us. But that's not always the case for some people. Anyway, no marriage preferable to a mismatch. And she says, Nellie A. will not be as much prepared by cultivated manners and useful knowledge to marry at 25 as some girls would be at 18. But men generally of your age have a very limited knowledge of character and no just idea of how foolish a man can make himself by fancying a young girl who is not fit for him in any sense. Yeah, because we all know, this is a sad fact of life, especially for us guys. Girls always mature faster than guys, and even the world knows this. Have you ever noticed? Buy car insurance. How many of you have got sons and daughters? Hey, let's say you've got twins. Little John and Mary, 18 years old, getting their first car, and they're getting their first insurance policy. Johnny's paying $400 a month. Mary's paying $200 a month. Gee, I wonder why. Well, Mary's going to be a little bit more sensible behind the wheel of the car. John's going to get about two wheels every chance he gets. And so the insurance companies know that, because guys are just like that. It's ridiculous, but that's just the way we are. It's the way I was. Yeah, good point. Good point. Yeah, when they say I'm a strong Christian, then why are you about to disobey your Lord? That's a power phrase right there. A quick comeback like that. Amen. So going on, it'll be far better not to marry at all than to be found unfortunately married, but seek counsel of God in all things. Be so calm, so submissive to the will of God that you will not be in a fever of excitement and unqualified for his service by your attachments. And the next one is titled Need of Similar Temperaments. And she says, I learned that you thought of marrying a sister named Anna Hale. This aroused me to hasten out the things which I had seen. Your organization is not of that refined order that you can make a woman of her fine, sensitive nature happy. It is not at all in God's order that such temperaments as hers and yours should unite. You possess a large proportion of the animal. Isn't she talking to her son here? I think she's talking to her son, Willie, or is it the other one? I can't remember. And it doesn't matter, really. I mean, because truth is truth, no matter who she's talking to. That's why we're reading it now, 100 years later. She's been dead 100 years this year. It's amazing. Anyway, it says, you have strong animal passions which have not been controlled as they should have been. The more noble, elevated powers of the mind have been servant to the lower or baser passions. You have failed to be sanctified through the truth which you profess, have failed to be a partaker of the divine nature, have escaped corruption or escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Anna Hale is not a person who could endure the roughs of life. She is a frail flower and would soon droop and die if exposed to storm and neglect. You have not in your previous marriage understood the wants of a woman. Oh, this guy's on his second woman, marriage already. And she's talking to him. She says, you have not appreciated her delicate organism. You failed, greatly failed, with your first wife. She possessed a powerful constitution which can scarcely be equaled for power of endurance, but she presumed too much. Your anxiety to acquire led you both to overtax yourselves and be swallowed up in the cares of this life, and to neglect present happinesses and comfort, looking ahead to a time when you should have more of this world's goods, and then you could afford to look after the comforts of life. And that's one of the, you know, that's one of the blessings too of I see with young people not having a couple of nickels to rub together. You'd be surprised how much trouble you can get into if you had some money. You'd be surprised. I mean, and every, I just saw a video the other day too about this, you know, the truths about the lottery or something like that. And I like watching videos about that because I love the testimonies of these people, even though some of them aren't even Christians. I like the basic reality of truth when it comes out, even with people who don't know what truth is. Every single solitary one of them said it was the worst thing that ever happened to them when they won that lottery. And mainly, what was the main reason they all said? It wasn't because of the money so much that, you know, it ruined their ability to work properly or whatever. It was family. Let's say you had $10 million after taxes and all that. You got $10 million. And let's say you have in your entire family 10 family members. If you don't give each person in that family $1 million, split it 10 ways, then you're disgusting. If you give, oh, wow, you know, could you imagine you give somebody in your family out of the blue, you just won $10 million, and you give your sister or your brother $100,000, something that no one else would ever have given them in their lives. They may never have seen money like that in their lives before. You give them $100,000, and in about a year or two after they've blown it on everything that they could think of, you are still the scum of the earth because you got $10 million, and you only gave them a pittance $100,000. And that's what these guys are talking about. Is no matter what you do, if you still have money at the end of the day, they expect you to give it to them. It will ruin your life. Plus, it's gambling. So Christians just don't. Well, Christians that know about gambling don't buy lottery tickets. Now I wonder, if you found one on the street, no, then it's not gambling. And if it's a winner, well, fine. Praise the Lord. Use it to, you know, further the work. You didn't spend a dime to get it. And it's impossible to find out who owned it, you know. So you wouldn't have any guilt there either. So anyway, she goes on to say, says, you have made a sad mistake. The life of your wife was sacrificed. She might have lived. She ought to have lived. But you knew so little of woman's organism that you failed to have care and neglected the preparation you should have made for her comfort. Maybe she, yeah, died or something. Yeah, sounds like. To a very great degree, you possess the temperament of your father. When you seek a wife, go not among the delicate and refined, where the intellectual predominates. Select you a wife among that class, more in accordance with your organization. You cannot make a person of refined spiritual temperament happy. Oh, man. Not in today's world, that would really, really, really anger some people. But there was a different way about people back then. You could talk like that, which is nice. But an email like that would be going, you know, oh, that would anger some people today. And even if you were to send this to someone and say, look, I didn't write it, still going to tick them off. I mean, case in point, someone who claims Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior comes up to you and you know that they're doing something wrong. You give them a Bible verse that literally declares what they have just done was sin, and they're going to be all over you like white on rice. They're going to think that you are the scum of the earth again, you know. And you say, whoa, whoa, I didn't write the Bible. Iron sharpeneth iron right here. I love you. I love you as a Christian. You're my brother or you're my sister in Christ. I'm trying my best to show you, look, you're in danger. And all you get back from that is hatred, because the sin is so much more enticing to them than the truth. But it is the last days. So expect it. This next title or headline or title, yeah, it says Faithfulness in the Parental Home. And she says, it is by faithfulness to duty in the parental home that the young are to prepare themselves for homes of their own. Let them here practice self-denial and manifest kindness, courtesy, and Christian sympathy. Thus love will be kept warm in the heart. And he who goes out from such a household to stand at the head of the family of his own will know how to promote the happiness of her whom he has chosen as a companion for life. Marriage. What? Let me go backtrack here. Life, and then it says marriage. Yeah, companion for life. Okay, period. All right, good, there's a period. And then she says, marriage, instead of being the end of love, will be only its beginning. And she says, I beg of you, yes, I warn you in the name of my master, that being Jesus, because she capitalizes it here, do not enter the marriage relation and take upon yourself the responsibilities and obligation of the marriage vows until you are changed in heart and life. When you can make your own home happy, be a blessing to your father and mother, your brothers and sister, then you can understand the duties involved in the marriage relation. Amen. And that's where it ends. And so, isn't this neat how this actually ended? We only needed 20 minutes. See how the Lord works? Because chapter 3, it's the next chapter. And we're, you know, of course, we're still in selected messages, so we'll have to pick it up next week where we left off with selected messages. But praise the Lord. This was good. And it was well needed and well heard. And amen and amen and amen. If you can kneel, let's finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very much for blessing us the way you do on Sabbath day. Thank you again for the week. Thank you again for last Sabbath. And thank you again for what your son did 2,000 years ago. Please bless everyone that's in attendance tonight again. And please bless everyone we lifted up in prayer that in the text chat and on the prayer list. And thank you so much for blessing us with the desire deep in our hearts and reminding us throughout the day sometimes just to lift up some of our brothers and sisters in Christ by name to you. Thank you for teaching us that prayer is that important. It is really nice to know that we can do something, even if it's just praying. And so please bless us with many opportunities to do just that, as well as plant seeds, as well as see them watered. We know we can't do the watering, but it's nice to watch them grow, even in our own hearts, because we know we got a lot of seeds that need to be germinated, Father. And so thank you for helping us burn off the dross and germinate the seeds that you've planted years ago or days ago. And we offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our everlasting King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.